And to the second reading from Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 25 and continuing on to verse 2 in chapter 5. And this reading can be found on page 829 of your Pew Bibles. So Ephesians chapter 4. Starting with verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome task come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And now just quiet us in such a manner, Lord, that we're going to see something, each of us, that we've never seen before or maybe never thought of. But you have for us to learn today, this very special day of worship. Help me, Lord, to just speak your words. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's sermon has got three things going on, actually. Anybody here have any problems?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll say, anybody here that doesn't have a problem?
We all have problems.
Okay. We're in the right place at the right time. So, in John's Gospel, we will talk about Jesus as the solution for every problem that we have. Then we will see rules for this new life in Christ. How many like rules? Isn't that interesting? You know what part of the soul that is? That's our will. We decide, well, I'm going to do whatever I want, when I want, if I want. But you know what? If we're Christians, we need to come into the boundaries of the Word of God. And that's what's going to give us a great life in Christ. So, and lastly, we will see an example of David in the Psalms. Now, if you want to follow along, be my guest. I'm going to John chapter 6, first of all. That's quite a chapter, really. And it's been going on. If you're following the lectionary readings, are you doing that here? Do you know? If you are? You are? Okay. You've heard a lot about the bread of life over the last few weeks, if you have. Now, just prior to Jesus talking about that, he fed the 5,000. So you have to get the picture. He fed the 5,000. You know, it was the miracle of the loaves and the fish. And, of course, the people were amazed. And Jesus tests them a little bit here. After they had the loaves, he went on, and you'll see where he tests them. He says, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountains by himself. So he's always teaching, but don't try to control him, because he's only going to do what God wants him to do, not what we want him to do, what God wants him to do. And that's the same for us. We're not supposed to be people pleasers. We're to be God pleasers. And that means you're going to feel lonely sometimes and isolated, and some people won't like you. And that's okay. Because God does. God loves us. And he wants to set us apart to do his will. So we need to live in the confines of the word of God. Then the disciples go out on the lake, and they find that the water gets a little rough and they're getting panicky again. They see Jesus coming on the water and they were terrified. But what does Jesus say? It is I. Do not be afraid. So whenever you've got a problem, and we all admitted we had one, right? Remember, Jesus is right here, right now, saying, it is I. Do not be afraid. So then he talks about the bread from heaven. And it's so interesting. Anybody like a free meal? Well, this crowd that had just been fed for lunch were looking all over the place for Jesus because, hey, supper's coming, so they want to find him. And it's so interesting because they said, just a minute, let me find it here. They were looking for the food to eat, and Jesus, oh yes, here it is, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answers the question, but watch how he answers. Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has sent his seal. Then they ask the question, well, what must we do to perform the works of God? Now listen carefully. Two lines. This is Jesus speaking. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. See, the world goes crazy trying to make money, trying to have the best position. Look at me. Popularity, prestige, all of these things. And all that's required of us in the word of God, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That's when our life begins and unfolds in such a way that people will be drawn to us. And they'll even ask, what church do you go to? And you can say, St. Andrew's. We're loving it. Come along. Join us. If we're just pushing our weight around, and we do that without even realizing sometimes, people will ignore that. They won't really be interested. Because they want to feel part of a congregation. So then we travel down to today's scripture. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And remember, the Bible is always being seen through spiritual eyes. Not worldly eyes, spiritual eyes. Then 41, then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? It's so like us. Someone might be filled with the Spirit of the living God that we've known all our lives, and we've seen their mistakes, and we think, I'm not going to listen to them. I want to go over here and find someone who's been built up, and you don't know the mistakes that they've made. So try not to do that. Try not to judge people. Try to just trust God to show us something through each other. And that's why it's important to get to know each other intimately, what you believe in God. Don't just think, well, I know what I believe, so that's enough. No, it's not. Because if you want the church to be built up in power, you've got to be in unity. It happens in every church. Last week I was in, where was I last week? I move around too much. West St. Andrews. And I said to them, something I see in every church is that people sit at the same tables, beside the same person, every week, every month, every year, forever. How do you get to know each other? So I challenged them. And you know what? A lot of them took on the challenge. They sat for a few minutes with one person, and they moved on to another table and sat with someone else, and they moved on again. I was impressed. In fact, it was kind of funny. It kind of backfired a little on me because I was enjoying the conversation I was having with someone, and they moved. But that's a good thing. We could laugh about it and enjoy each other's company and get to know each other. It's just so important, and that's how Jesus helps us through our problems. We need to be able to be free enough to come into a church and be able to say to someone, Anne, I'm really struggling today. Can you come over here and pray for me? You know, we shouldn't have to worry about that. We shouldn't be fearful of people gossiping because Christians don't gossip, right? Be careful. We're hurting people when we do that. People out in this world, I think I've said it before here. If I haven't, I'll say it anyways. Suicide is one of the largest killers in the world today. And you see, people aren't finding a place where they can be accepted and loved, even in spite of their ugly behavior. We all have ugly behavior. I lose my temper. I get frustrated. But thank God, God always brings me back and gives me a warm hug. And we need to do that for each other as human beings because we are to be Christ-like. We are building His kingdom. So He needs us as we need Him. So Christ is the answer to all our problems. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And if we're not telling people, how are they going to learn it? How are they going to know? Then, of course, Paul gets more intimate with his rules for the new life, which he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us. But prior to that, if I challenge you to read chapter 3 also, and chapter 3 and 4 of Ephesians when you go home, because there's an awesome prayer that Paul says for the people before he teaches about the unity of the body of Christ, the old life and the new, and now the rules for the new life. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. You know, that might sound really simple. But if you ask the Holy Spirit, and I've done this and He has shown me, I have asked Him, where am I manipulating and controlling? Anybody else here have that difficulty sometime? I'm the only honest one in the bunch. Two, three. Okay, thank you. We do it without even realizing. We decide we want to know something about from somebody and then think, well, I'll say it this way. We almost do it unconsciously. I'll say it this way. See if I can find out anything. We do those things. That's got to go. We got to be filled with Christ, filled with truth and honor and honesty. That's when you, all these things that they're teaching us through the Word, that's what builds the church. That's what builds, we've got to be different. We're different from what goes on out there. If we're not, why bother coming? There's no point. So, and come next week, because if she does follow the lectionary readings, it's called Renounce Pagan Ways. Well, I'm not pagan. Oh, you might be surprised. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. We all get angry. Anger's not a bad thing, unless you've got it compulsively and you're out of control. But anger, when we feel anger, sometimes it's because we've been offended or we're being abused or something, and we just need to straighten that out with the person, and that's not always easy. That's when we need to be praying too. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Watch this. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. And we all need to work on that, because when somebody offends us, right away we're right? We need to work on that, folks. And we can. The Spirit can change us. So that your words may give grace to those who hear and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. And there's more there that you can look at yourselves about bitterness, wrath, anger, and so on. But at the end, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's who we are to be, imitators of God. And lastly, if you look at the psalm now, way back in the Old Testament, you'll see David, this is an example for today. I don't know if you're familiar with Abimelech, but he was the first self-appointed king and judge of Israel, and he was a power monger. Okay, little musical interlude there. He was a power monger, and he was ruthless. And David was in his presence at times, and David was worried that he was going to get done away with, because Abimelech actually had 70 half-brothers and had 69 of them killed. So David, in order to avoid this ruthless, power-hungry king, he pretended to be mad, insane in other words, and he was driven away and out of the way of Abimelech. And this is what he says in the psalm that we read. And this is what we need to be saying. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What have you been talking about this last week? Has there been praise in between anything? It should be continually in our mouth. My soul, that's the mind and the will and the emotions again, makes its boast in the Lord. So we got to get rid of the ego, rid of the pride, rid of all those things that we're so used to doing because the world has brought us up that way and said, this is what you should be doing. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, David says, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So there it is, through God and now through Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are either delivered from our problems or God walks through them with us to teach us something. Quite often he walks through it with us because there's a lot to be learned and he wants us to live a rich and full life in the Spirit of the living God. Not this, well, another day, oh hum, I'm bored, not much to do. I'm over 50 now, so I guess that's half my life gone. It's not about that. I find the older I get, the more exciting it is because I've learned more and more and more and allow God to change me. Even when it hurts, I'm brave enough to say, I really messed up today, God. Show me. And it's okay. And I was saying to Donna on the way here, sometimes that day can be kind of painful when he shows me. But the next day, and the next day, and the next month, and year, things improve so much. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried, David said, and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. And watch verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. So take that problem that each one of us has, right sitting right here probably, or two or three. Take that, go to the Lord. He's the answer to every problem. Listen to him. Don't just ask him and then go and do it on your own. Ask him, sit still, be still, and know that I am God. And listen. The problem that we have, he's working on, and he may not give an answer for a week or so, or a month or so, but trust him. Let go and trust him. When people see you doing that as Christians, all of us, they're going to come running and say, what are you doing that's so different? I see your life has changed. I want what you've got. Talk to me. And Lord willing, you will be able to speak. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You see the picture in the bulletin there, the crucifixion, his cross that he died on. He rose from the dead. The word is there. When you know this word inside and out, then you can do the last picture. He is the bread of life. You notice it's cut into slices. That means we are to share that bread with other people. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that Jesus is the answer to everything. In spite of us thinking we know more than he does, forgive us. We know also that Paul had an incredible relationship with you, Lord. So he's left us with spirit-filled instructions. Help us not to fight the rules or the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the cornerstone. Who else are we to look up to? Help us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for David, who shows us how to act in our trials, who shows us how to praise you with our mouths full of praise 24/7. In spite of our problems. Help us, Lord, to reverse what we do. We tend to talk about our problems and not talk about Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, and reverse it by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Be with this church congregation and Virginia, Lord. Bless them all together as they worship together and strive to serve you to build up your kingdom here in Niagara, on the lake, and far beyond. Help the people in hospital. Help the gentleman that wasn't feeling well this morning. Thank you for that. Lord Jesus, help those in nursing homes that are so alone and need our help, need our visit. A 20-minute visit can do so much. Help with the shut-ins. Help those who are concerned about an operation coming up. Be with the doctors and the nurses and the staff at the hospital, Lord. They have a lot of detail to remember. Their hands have to be so precise. Help them, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to learn how to take a day of rest so that we can come back and be refreshed and renewed in order to do the work of the kingdom of God. Help us to be still. And to always remember that you are God, not us. You are God. Help us to come under the authority of all that Jesus would teach and say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.